Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
you want to have some fun?
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is Stanley Bookman, and I come from the world of ink. I live in a town called Storyville that's closer than you think. Just hop online and you will find my online world of fun. There's stories, poems, and features on everything under the sun. Just type in Stories for Children magazine at .org to the end. Come join me in reading adventures, we're sure to become good friends. So come to the world of ink with me, we'll share a story or two. We'll go all over the world, you'll see, we'll have fun the whole day through.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stories for Children show at BTR World of Ink Network with your hosts, V.S. Grenier, and myself, Irene Rose. It's truly an honor to be here with you today. It's Monday, June the 4th, 2012, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, Stories for Children can be listened to live every other Monday of the month here on the World of Ink Network. Or you can listen to it on demand as well at any time you'd like at the same address or on iTunes. Just search for World of Ink Network and you'll find our shows on iTunes. The chat room is open today to post your questions. If you have a call-in question for our guest, please call 714-242-5259. That's 714-242-5259.
Thank you, Irene. You always do such a great job on our openings.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I swear, I feel like we've been both living on Blog Talk Radio the last few days. Because we were just on last night doing our training for our new workshop. So, our workspace, not a workshop.
It was great
workspace.
Fun.
Yeah, lots of fun. Well, we're excited today because we're actually kicking off quite a few different World of Ink tours again here at the World of Ink Network, which is always exciting. We had a little, I don't want to say a lag, because it wasn't a lag, but a mini vacation from tours as summer's been heating up around the world. And so I guess unless you're in Australia, you're getting winter right now. But so we're excited because we have three different authors that are touring. But today we actually have only one of them on because we have them broken out, obviously, so they can talk about their books with all of you and share what they're up to. And we're excited because we have VGK Chari with us today on the show, and she has a really cute picture book called Porcupine Seeds that my two young girls absolutely love. And what I love about it is, as cute as the story is, it teaches friendship and also the efforts of hard, well, the payoffs actually of hard work as well, and that sometimes things just don't always come easy, which, you know, kids always think everything should happen now, and it's not how it works in the world. So we're excited to have VG with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
What was that?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we love having you. Now, we were talking about names earlier, and how, because I know you let us, of course, you know, as always, I always say, you know, in America, we like to butcher everybody's name. I know I pronounce it VG, but you mentioned before the show that there's actually, you had the stress a little different.
Yes.
So
the way you say it is Vigi, and it's a nickname for my longer name, which is 13 letters, and is Vijaya Lakshmi. But instead of having that, because it's too difficult and it's too daunting when you see all those letters, I decided to use Vigi as my writing name.
It's
and
poetic.
That's what everyone calls
right.
me also.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful whole name when you hear it.
Yeah.
My goodness. But I can understand, yeah, that would be a mouthful for little kids.
Yeah, there's no, that person.
Now, you're originally from India, and
yes.
You moved to the U.S. when you were at 2 years old. So kind of share with us, you know, basically, you know, obviously not being – I mean, you are born and raised, well, you're not born in the U.S., but, you know, you have been raised in the U.S. culture. But, you know, being from the culture you're from, growing up and finding your passion in writing, because I always find it interesting how different it is. We actually had an author, Taliani, who is Jewish, and actually lived out in one of the kibbutz out there in Israel. And it was just interesting talking to him. And I've known lots of, you know, people who are Jewish. And just hearing from him, and most of them were more from, like, Jerusalem, like from the actual city. So it was actually interesting hearing his story from growing up, you know, out on a kibbutz and sharing, you know, his discovery of writing and inspiration. So I would love for you to share that with us. And then, you know what you've have had published since then and just kind of your journey, because I think that really helps readers identify with the authors and, you know, realize we are real people and it doesn't just happen instantaneously overnight that we write a book,
definitely
it gets published,
not.
Everybody knows who we are.
Yeah, no, definitely not. When I came here when I was two, and at that time, actually, there's no such thing as multiculturalism. It was not celebrated at all. So I was very strange in a very predominantly white neighborhood, Caucasian neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way... it's very different now. Everyone celebrates different religions. Everyone is curious, and nobody looks down upon it. They're all accepted. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. I was, I think, three Indians that was in my whole high school.
Oh, wow.
And my parents were very orthodox. They would not want me to go to dances, date, all those things. And also, I must say that my parents were first generation, so they had their fears, and I'm not blaming them or anything like that. I'm understanding where they came from, and that was fine at that time. But it was difficult. It was difficult for me to make friends, and it was difficult for me to be accepted because I had too many restrictions. I was vegetarian, basically. I mean, no beef. No pork. We did eat chicken, but I don't know. Now I'm completely vegetarian. And that was very strange to everybody. And then another thing is, with the first generation of Indians who came here stressed math and science because that's what they do in India. It's all math and science. Now kids that grow up now that are the second generation, they're able to do whatever they want because their parents will say, you know, you don't need to do math and science. If you want to go into journalism, go ahead. And I know people who have gone into music now. So I never did writing that much when I was much younger because it wasn't looked down upon. It just wasn't stressed.
Right.
And then once in sixth grade, I wrote a story, and the teacher liked it, and actually the whole class liked it. But looking back, it didn't have a very good conclusion or a climax, but it didn't matter. I just enjoyed writing it. And then after, I think my aunt told me that at that time I had said to her, I want to write, although I don't remember this, and I think I was in high school when I said this. And then after my son was born, I found out that there is a correspondence course, so I took that, and then that's how my writing came along, and that's how I got into writing. And I keep going back and forth, sorry about that, but
I
was growing up,
Don't worry.
I ended up doing genetics. It was a science-based thing, and then I was working in a lab, but I think that science helps a lot because I can write nonfiction because I'm very curious about how things work. I know the scientific process. And then I had to work very hard on the writing part because it didn't come naturally to me. It's something that I just enjoyed doing. So that's basically my background.
Now, did you take any courses in writing as you decided to, you know, explore into writing, you know, as not just something as a hobby, but to actually for publication? I mean, I know some writers are like, no, I just, you know, just sat down and I self-taught myself. Others have taken, you know, courses at their colleges. Some have taken online courses or...
I took a correspondence course.
Okay.
And then I took like three different courses through them. Although every now and then I think about going and getting a master's in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Except the question is, why am I doing that? What's the purpose of doing that? Is there reason to get a master's, or is it okay that I'm just writing like I'm writing now?
Right. No, I've actually done it too because I have my bachelor's in merchandise marketing, and now that I'm in writing, I keep thinking, well, maybe I should continue on and actually, you know, get a master's in creative writing. I'm like, well, you know, do I really want to do that when I know so many authors who have diverse backgrounds, like a lot of us, you know, here today on the, you know, on the radio show, that don't have, you know, even bachelor's degrees in writing or never even studied it in high, college. And so,
right,
you know,
right.
I get that question. You know, I understand, you know, trying to debate on that because it is something that you're just like, is it something I'm just doing for myself? Am I doing it because I think it's going to really make that big of a difference in my writing career? And will it really, you know, kind of a thing that goes through your
mind?
Yeah,
I don't think you need it for your writing career unless you're going into journalism or something like that.
Right.
But every now and then I think, you know, it'd be good to be accomplished getting a degree in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go, oh, that's too far away. The classes are too far away, and I need to be here to pick up my kids. So it's going to have to wait.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand that, too. And then, of course, it's also the thing, you know, it takes time away from your writing. And so.
Exactly, exactly. Then you can't create your stuff. You have to do the homework that's assigned. You have to do the reading. You need to do the analysis.
Yeah.
And then where's your other writing that is going to wait for 4 years?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not an easy balance, which, you know, brings up the fact that you haven't read. I mean, Porcupine Seeds is, of course, your recently published book, but you've been writing for magazines and have you done any periodicals, like any newsletters or newspaper writing as well? Because I know you've been published in Highlights Magazine and Ladybug and a few others. So is that pretty much
No,
where
I didn't
you...
do any writing for any newspapers. I've only done I've done magazines and anthologies. I do some for adults, too. Like I have one article in one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul for it's called Food and Love. That's the poem.
Great.
And that was really exciting because Chicken Soup for the Soul is a very difficult. There's so many people that apply.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And everyone's so good at writing. But I think the key for that was the thing was food and love. And what I did, the story that I wrote about is my son, who was maybe 16 and very rebellious at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have, I mean, every now and then we have an on and off relationship. He's mad at me, I'm mad at him. And then apparently he put on Facebook, I just had some cauliflower curry that was totally awesome. I can't think about that now. I have to study for finals. Well, it was my cauliflower curry. Oh. So then I used that as the ending of my story about how he is not different from a toddler to a teenager. It's the same thing. He doesn't listen to what I'm telling him, but he still loves me because he still loves my food. So my food will reach his heart, kind of thing. And because I think they liked it because I used technology in my story.
Uh-huh.
Oh, neat.
That's my feeling.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely shows that you are a very diverse writer because I was going to do popcorn again because my kids are talking about popcorn earlier. Porcupine Seeds is such a cute book, and I love the fact that it's one of those books that when you're reading, you don't feel like a message is screaming out at you, but it is there, you know. And I picked up, too, like I said, I picked up the fact that it teaches friendship, but it also teaches, you know, hard work. At least those were the two that really came popping out at me when I read it. Irene, were those what popped out at you when you read?
Yes, definitely.
Porcupine Seeds, yeah.
And it's a great theme. Those, both of these themes are great for kids because, you know, the sooner they learn that, the better. So,
yeah,
it was wonderful.
So was this based by chance on something your son did or
yes,
on memories?
We were, absolutely. I think it was four, and we were planting seeds outside in little pots. So I said, okay, take it inside, and he tripped over the threshold, and everything fell.
And
I was feeling so bad because they're 4 years old, and planting a seed is such hard work for them. I mean, it takes a lot of eye coordination to pour that soil into the pot and then pick all the seeds and put it in there and then water it, and then the whole thing fell. So I started off, that was my... that's what I started off with. Then I worked backwards.
Very, very cute. Now, this is the first picture book you've had published, correct? Or
that's right. Yes,
okay.
That's right.
Do you have others that you're working on that you're going to use the same characters for, or is this pretty much a standalone and you're working on some other different books as well?
This is a standalone. I have other books that are out at publishers. Unfortunately, I think the publishing market isn't very good because I'll get comments from editors saying, this is a very good book, I really like it, but I don't know how he can sell it.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate that it's like that right now.
Yeah, marketing's really tough right now in the book industry. That's something that Marcia Casper Cook and I talk about a lot on our What is Success show that we do on the first and third Fridays of the month here on World of Ink. Because we actually did a show, 2 weeks ago, it was two weeks ago, you basically have this manuscript, everybody loves it, but you just can't seem to get it published, and why is that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And that wasn't the exact topic, but that was basically the gist of the show topic. And, there's two things that we always talked about on that we really hit on that show was one, it just depends on what mood, whatever editor it ends up in front of or editors and what mood they're in. Because I made the comment, which Irene knows when it comes to Stories for Children magazine, that what I read at 11 o'clock at night versus what I read at, 10 a.m. in the morning and what I think of it are so different.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And then of course, you have to look at the markability, which is I think just across the board for anybody, no matter what industry you're in. I mean, right now, which we all know, the market is with the recession is just so hard. So if something just doesn't scream, obviously if you slap Mickey Mouse in it, we all know it's going to sell because very few people are going to say I don't like Mickey Mouse.
Right.
So that's unfortunate. That's like.
And a few years
thing.
Ago, they were saying multicultural, and I don't see a lot of multicultural coming out. Although I know there's Ian Lowe and they produce that, but I don't see a lot of that actually.
Yeah, no, and it's sad too because I think more multicultural things would be good, especially with the way times are now.
Yes, I think so.
Definitely.
Especially for kids, it would teach them, to be a much more rounder and wider ranging, so I think that's a bit of a drawback. Well, quite a bit of a drawback,
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, talking about multicultural, because, some of the picture books we've seen recently, that have toured or people have contacted us to see if they can be, on our show as a guest, I've noticed that when they have people as their characters, they try and have, the different ethnicities within their book. So that way it's not like, oh, it's only, white people in it, and they all have, brown hair and blonde hair and they're all blue-eyed and look like they live in California because that's not reality. And, they try to make sure that they have some, diversity in your books. So I'm curious because I've seen recently less books with animals as the character. So what made you decide to focus on animals? Because my picture book that I have has animals in it, and everybody's like, why did you pick animals? Everybody's telling you shouldn't have talking animals. I'm like, because I don't see a lot of it, and that was my reason. But I'm just kind of curious, what made you choose to use a porcupine and a raccoon?
I have no idea, actually. And I'm thinking, why did I do that? I thought because it makes it, you don't need to have an adult. The animal, the animal can do everything on his own.
Right.
And if you have a child that's six, you need four or six, you need to have adult supervision. And then I didn't want adults in that. So I think that must have been, because that's what I'm thinking right now, that must be the reason I went with animals.
Right,
because animals can do a lot more without supervision, and it can be more you're free to do things.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, with you mentioning that, because it's true, when you have a book where you have a set age for your character, you do have to have the adult without them being the all-seeing adult, which, anybody
correct.
Who has taken any children's writing courses, that's like the number one rule that gets beaten into your head like day one is do not have the all-knowing adult in your story.
Correct. Yeah. Let the character do its work.
Right. But then, of course, you know, when it comes to picture books, because, you know, most picture books, they always say, oh, yeah, they're for ages like 3 to 8. But, you know, you do have some 9 and 10-year-olds who still like to read picture books because they're just fun. And because my daughter just turned 7, and, you know, she's even though she's starting to read chapter books, she still enjoys, you know, looking at picture books and reading them.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, she's on that older side of the picture book market. But I find when you have the animal characters, it doesn't matter how old you are because everybody can identify with them and put their own age there because you don't think of an animal with an age. You don't think of them being 3 or 5
right.
or 6
exactly.
years old in the story.
Right. Right.
So and I know, like I said, you know, most picture books are typically, you know, like I said, for ages 3 to 8, but I really feel like Porcupine Seeds is one that even if you're 12 years old, you can actually enjoy the story because it is something that we all encounter in our lives.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad that it's like that for you.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really liked it. I was just like, wow, you know, this is one of those books that it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, I don't think my 6-year-old son will sit down and read it because, well, he's a boy and he's 16. But,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely, I think anyone 12 and under can enjoy the story because, you know, again, it's about, you know, not only, you know, learning about friendship and growing friendship, mm-hmm. But, you know, hard work and how, like I mentioned earlier when we opened the show, so many kids think that everything should be instantaneous, and it's so hard now, especially with the recession, because my kids are like that. They'll look at me like, Mom, you know, let's go to McDonald's, or, you know, why can't I go ride the carousel today? And I'm like, does money grow on trees? And they just look at you like, what? I can't have it now? You know, we were making the other. Oh, we're doing s'mores. Not that s'mores take that long to cook, but we're doing s'mores. But you know, you have to put it all together. My daughter just figured, you know, that why can't we just walk out to the campfire and it, you know, be sitting there ready for me? Mike, because you have to make it.
Yeah,
correct.
I'm
correct.
Sorry, I'm not the maid.
Right.
Yeah, she just thought we were going to light the our little, you know, fire in the backyard and we'd have instant s'mores and just be able to enjoy the, you know, little campfire. I'm like, no.
Yeah. It takes time and takes hard work. Kids, especially with all the toys nowadays, everything comes so easily. Uh-huh. They need to learn that you need to put hard work into it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the culture sort of says, too, doesn't it? Everything's easy. Everything should be easy. Although everything that's worthwhile at all is hard, and it's hard work to do anything. And I think, you know, of course, in movies and in a lot of advertisements, everything just comes easily. So that's what kids, I think, pick up on, that, Mom, this should be easy. But it's, you know, things are not easy, and most things are not easy, and certainly most valuable things are not easy. So your message is absolutely perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I just figured out a third message that's in your book, too, in Porcupine Seeds. I've been encountering this, not so much because I have a 2-year-old as well, and not so much with my 2-year-old, because my 2-year-old, she's so inquisitive about the world still, you know, she's wants to figure things out, but problem-solving skills, because that's the one thing which, I don't know why it didn't dawn on me earlier, but when Porcupine's, you know, going about, you know, planting his seeds and, you know, getting them ready to hopefully have them grow, and of course things doesn't go right. I mean, he encounters, obviously, problems along the way. I mean, one of them I love is, you know, with the water. I mean, it's like he goes to add water and it's like going everywhere, you know. And I think sometimes that's probably where kids get discouraged with hard work, because it's you know, besides the fact that it doesn't happen instantaneously, like, well, they just, you know, go get a seed, put it in the ground, and it goes, poof, there's a flower. you know, they have to do all this stuff to make it happen. Sometimes problems happen, you know, like what you said when he's, you know, tripping and spilling the seeds and they go everywhere and I have to, like, start all over, or you go to fill up a cup of water and, or, you know, whatever, to water the plant and the hose breaks or the faucet breaks or everything starts to overflow. And I think kids sometimes have a hard time because they just see, they react to the problem versus stopping and taking a deep breath and going, okay, how can I solve this problem in front of me right now?
Right, yeah. That's and the thing is, Porcupine's personality, as far as growing flowers is from me because I don't grow flowers very well. In fact, I always forget to water them. Unless it's an automatic drip, it's not going to grow nicely with me.
Yeah, I'm like that too. I don't have a green thumb. That's why we still have dirt in our front yard. My husband's like, when are we going to put our front yard in? I'm like, but if we put it in, then I have the front and backyard to worry about. Not that, you know, my husband does mow and take care of the grass in the backyard, but, you know, the little plants that are around there. I'm like, that gives me more stuff to do. I'm like, I have a hard time remembering the backyard. The whole front yard's going to look like dirt anyways within a month. Like, we live in a desert, dirt works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm...
Although I love where you are, it's a beautiful countryside. Oh, my goodness.
I live in southern Utah by all the red mountains, just so you know where I'm at.
And it's beautiful.
It's sad because my mom has the green thumb. She has this beautiful garden. She has a beautiful garden.
Oh, there's my mother.
Garden,
my mother
beautiful...
has a great thumb, green thumb, and I didn't get it.
That's sad. You're like, please rub off on me. Now, your characters, because you mentioned that Porcupine character is yours. Was Raccoon based off anybody as well or no?
No, it wasn't. No, not really. I just said, you know what? I have a hard time growing plants. Let's think about every single possible thing that could go wrong. And then, of course, I had that part where my son had dropped everything.
Yes.
And then I went from there. And I had to have a character that thinks he can't do it, but at the end he realizes he can do it, so he grows as a person.
Yeah.
So there's, of course, lots of revisions on it. And then I said, okay, I have to add more growth. So then I added more dialogue for himself saying, no, I can do this. It's not that first it's, you know, I don't think I can do this because look at my garden. It's all brown. Then it became, well, maybe I can do this part. And then you solve that. And then you go to the next part and then something happens. Then he solves that and goes, oh, but maybe, okay, I did two things. Now maybe I can do it. So that's what I was trying to do with his growth of character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is great because I saw another underlying theme here, too, that the self-confidence, the building of self-confidence, you know.
Yes,
I think that comes out in the story, too, which is great for kids.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Yeah, because I think as writers, we need to do that too. You know, you write at the very beginning, it's not so good, and then you get, then you go, oh, wait, this is getting better, this is getting better, and then you have to keep, you have to be the one encouraging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your writing group will too, but you have to have the, you have to feel that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through that process as well. So I think it's a lot of things. Anyone who wants to do anything will have to be their own cheerleader to some point.
Mm-hmm. Especially the case for writers because a lot of us are, we have low self-esteem to start off with.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's, you know, we're always sort of second-guessing ourselves and we're always feeling that, okay, well, maybe we're not quite good enough. But, you know, we have to sort of, you know, have a little more self-confidence sometimes,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
In order to, yeah, so.
Especially when it doesn't come to you naturally and you have to learn the trade and the art. Then eventually, you know, it gets, you go, oh, wait, it's so much better now. I started 10 years ago, and I write so much better now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and give yourself that pat on the back.
Have you noticed that with your writing, VG, where you look at some of, like, the stuff you had published earlier in your writing career, and you look at it and go, wow, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah. No,
why did that get
published?
Well, it comes
easier now. It comes a little easier now. Now I can go, oh, wait, that sentence isn't good. Let me fix that kind of thing. It's not as difficult. I mean, it's still hard work, but it's enjoyable.
Right. What would you say is probably the hardest thing that you've encountered as a writer?
Getting flow in the story and not going, it not making very stagnated and like one sentence, another, and getting that flow so you actually don't see the words as much as you feel the story.
Right.
That's really, I think that's the key, and I think that is my cross to bear.
Yeah, that's hard.
It is hard because, I mean, you want the reader when they're reading just to feel like they're, you know, basically in their mind it's a movie playing versus, you know, jumping from one scene to the next. I actually read a book that really surprised me because I won't say what book it is, but I'll say what company, because Scholastic's really has really been pushing it.
Oh.
And, you know, not that I have – I mean, most books that Scholastic, you know, picks up and, you know, be it that they pick it up to publish it or pick it up to put in their book club, you know, as a book that they, you know, feel that is a book that, you know, teachers and parents and kids should mm-hmm. be paying attention to. There was this one, and I kid you not, every page, it was like a complete huge jump, and I'm just like, how did we get from here to here? And I felt like that reading the whole dang book, and I'm just like, really?
Oh, wow.
That's why I won't say what book it is, but I was really surprised. I was just like, wow, because it didn't feel like it just flowed. I didn't feel like, you know, I was just sitting there like, wow, yeah, you know, and okay, yeah, of course we're here. This is exactly where I thought we should be. No, I didn't feel like that at all. Reading it, and I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah. Wonder what happened to the editorial process, eh, Virginia?
I don't know. It's one of those. There are a few books out there that you're just like, okay, there's a reason why it's got published. Obviously, there's a reader for it somewhere. I'm obviously not a reader for it. And I always keep that in mind. Just because we don't enjoy one book doesn't mean that it's not being enjoyed by other people somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's definitely a reader for every book, and as the saying goes, and I know this is probably an actual quote from someone famous, and I just don't remember who, but they say, if you can't find the book that you want to read, then you need to write it yourself, kind of thing. So
yeah,
kind of how I look at those books.
That's right.
Sometimes gives you an idea for a book too.
Yeah. So which is a great thing you brought up, Irene. So what? Where do you get your inspiration? I mean, obviously we know your son's helped inspire some of your stories, but I'm sure that you get inspiration from other places besides your son. So what else helps inspire you to come up with your stories?
It's instances that happen. I wrote something for Highlights that they haven't accepted, but they gave it back and said, can you rephrase things? It's
mm-hmm.
about – I basically took the little rhyme this little piggy goes to market, this little piggy. Okay, so then I did a little story on that about why did it go to market, what happens at the end, and so that kind of thing. And I only thought of it because I was doing this little piggy for my nephew. And then I said, oh, you know what, maybe there's a story in here. Or the other thing is I was thinking about Macy and I, and I can't remember the author, I think it's Virginia Kroll.
Mm-hmm.
I read that many years ago, and then I thought, you know, we can do something that is like a grandmother and a grandchild. And then I also thought we should do something that has a little bit of technology in it. So I have written something that is, it's one of those books that they say, oh, this is a great book, but I don't think I can take it. And what it does is it contrasts a child now and a child that was like 80 years ago in
mm-hmm.
India, in a village, and the differences between the two. So that's basically how I get my ideas, you know, everyday reading things, an article in the store, in the newspaper, something will trigger some idea.
Yeah, it puts a real different twist on the things too, which is wonderful, because I guess that's what they say. It's when you write a picture book or anything for that matter, but you have to find a new fresh twist for things. And
right, yeah,
and you just do that perfectly, so it's wonderful.
The one
okay,
I love.
That's my challenge.
Yeah, it's everyone's. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah,
everyone has something that they have to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the books that you mentioned, you know, where publishers are worried that, you know, it might be a hard sell, you know,
mm-hmm.
the typical term out there in the industry.
Yeah,
oh, it's going to be a hard sell. Have you ever thought about possibly self-publishing those books? I mean, you know, I know as a new, when you're new to getting published in the book industry, not, you know, because obviously you're published in the magazine, but, you know, actually building
mm-hmm.
like a fan base of book readers. It's kind of scary to self-publish, but have you thought about maybe after you've had some books that have been traditionally published and you've grown somewhat of a fan base, possibly self-publishing those books?
Because
at you know
that
now
point, maybe, but not now. I mean, people have asked me, and I know somebody, a friend's friend, who published something, and she said, I will never do that again. It's too difficult. It's not worth it. So I haven't heard a very good, personally, I haven't heard people say that's a good idea to do that.
Now that you said,
if I have a fan base, then I would possibly think about doing that.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of authors who have self-published books. You know, some who it's their first book ever and they've self-published, and then others who have traditionally published and then you know decided, well, because of the timing and how long traditional publishers are going to get this book out, I need to get it out faster, so I'm self-publishing. Or they decide because, you know, even though a bunch of publishers love it, they're like, yeah, it's going to be a hard sell. We're just not sure. You know, it's going to be a risk. And so they're hesitant in taking it, and then, you know, ultimately decide not to. The authors have decided to self-publish. And, you know, some authors who have self-published, it has been exactly, you know, like you're saying, you know, from your one friend, it's been difficult. It's been a hard road. It hasn't, you know, they didn't feel like it paid off. And then I've had others that have seen, you know, really great success, and that's why I was kind of asking because, you know, I've seen both sides of the story. We've had authors, you know, like I said, who self-published that we've heard that have shared, you know, both sides. Of the good and the bad of it, and especially now with, you know, ebook publishing and
right,
there are
yeah.
so many, you know, small press publishers or you know, POD, which is gosh, I can't think of
print on demand.
Thank you. I wanted to say something else because POD. There's two different types of POD, and I was like, the other one was popping in my head, not publishing term one. Yeah, published on demand. With those types of, you know, publishing options, it just seems that self-publishing has really made headway in the market, and it just sounds like, you know, some of the ideas you have that, you know, just so far you haven't found the right publisher sound like they're really great ideas, and I could just see that might be just the avenue for them, you know, when you're ready or, you know, if you decide to
do it
down
the road.
Yeah, I need to
get the courage to do it.
It is. I work with a self-publisher. I work with Halo Publishing, and you know, a lot of the books that they do are self-published books, and one of the authors actually won an award with Mom's Choice Award, and she's doing really well, and I know there's some others that, you know, it's been more, you know, of a climb up the side of the steep mountain to see success with their books, but, you know, it is. It's one of those things you have to decide, like, how much effort you have to put into it, but I'm just curious, and, you know, you can just say, you know, I decline to answer, but I know even with traditional book publishing, I mean, I know you're doing the World of Ink tour, which is something that, you know, you opted to do, not your publisher. I'm still seeing that as an author with traditionally published books, you guys are still putting in a lot of time and effort in your marketing as well, correct?
Yeah, I think so. And this is my first book, and I mean, I have time to do my writing, other writing too, but I am also doing this. I don't know where I saw this, but I saw somewhere that when you first get your book, you're going to spend half your time or 75% of your time marketing it, and then later on you reduce that, and then you go into your writing. And I can't remember what source I read that in.
Yeah,
so I don't spend 45% of my time marketing this. But I am doing things to get it marketed, and I'm putting it in reviews. I'm putting it in I think it's called U.S. Books.
Mm-hmm.
I sent that to them, and today I was looking at something else to send another book to. So I do need to do it, but I think that's part of the whole package.
Right.
And along those lines too, what does your typical writing day look like? Like, do you have specific times that you really write? You know, like mornings or evenings or afternoons, or do you just write whenever you can? Or
I write on the mornings, and every day is different because I have a list of things I want to do that week, and I try to have a goal for the month, and then I break it up, and then. But I can't write every single day at a certain time because I have to also go work out. I need to go see people because I can't write unless I have a separate life going on. And I certainly can't write for 8 hours a day. I only write for maybe 45 minutes, then I have to take a break, and then I'll come back to it again, and I'll do another 45 minutes or something like that. But every single day is not the same for me.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's great.
Yeah, but yeah. It's very important for me to have goals for the week, though. Otherwise, nothing's going to get done. And I'll have things I need to get done before Friday.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I understand that.
So last Thursday was get everything to Virginia. Everything has to go in by Thursday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure with everything else you have going on, trying to, do all the stuff that you need for PR, you know, being a virtual tour or book signing. And I think sometimes that, as fans, you know, we don't think about it because we're like, oh, you know, our author is going to be wherever and we're just excited. But I think sometimes everybody kind of takes for granted how much effort goes into getting, you know, all the pre-work done for those types of events.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. I don't think I did a lot of writing in the last two to three weeks because I was writing other things for World of Ink, which is fine because that's part of the whole package, right? You have to do that if you have a book out.
Yeah.
But you just need to plan your time accordingly.
So besides doing the World of Ink tour all through June, which just so that our listeners know, you can go to worldofinknetwork.com and under Authors on Tour, you'll see VG Kachari's picture and the little link to her tour page where all her different virtual stops are online. Are you doing any other type of events? Like, are there any upcoming book signings, you know, nationally, locally, or any plans?
Actually, I didn't plan for anything like that, but I may start doing some, maybe in the fall, I'll start doing some school visits in the area first. And then I'll think about doing other things as well.
Yeah. It's traveling, you know, if anybody looking you up, because, I mean, on your tour page it has where, you know, the links to your to all your personal information, well, not all your personal information, but, you know, how to contact you and stuff. Are you open to any type of traveling? I mean, I know some authors are like, well, you know, right now I just need to stay locally. It's just not, you know, feasible. And then others are like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm willing to travel the globe. So, you know, kind of what are you?
Actually, I think I would be open to thinking about traveling. I mean, I don't have a problem with that as of right now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm one of those restricted ones where it's like, I have a 2-year-old. I would love to travel across the country right now, but I can't.
No, I don't have a 2-year-old. All of my kids are teenagers.
which makes it a lot, you know, easier to definitely get out there and promote and to be involved in things. Because are you doing anything else online? Do you have I know you have your website, which is yourname.com. So is the K in it, or is it just the VG Chari?
There's a K in there.
VG Kachari. And obviously you can look at our show's description information so you can make sure you guys spell that properly, .com. But do you have a blog or?
No, I don't have a blog.
No blog? Are you doing anything on Facebook or Twitter that anybody can, you know, follow along on what you have going on with your book or any updates or event info?
We have the one that you have set up, right, for our Facebook?
Uh-huh.
I have my own personal Facebook account, but that has nothing to do with the book. There is the World of Ink Facebook for Porcupine Seeds. This is my first thing I'm starting to do with marketing. Then I'll go from there after June.
Yeah, it is a lot. It really is. I was just talking to Marcia a few hours before, you know, we came in here to do the World of Ink show, Stories for Children show here on the World of Ink, and Marcia's like, you need to get on Pinterest. I'm like, yes, I know I need to get on Pinterest. I'm like, there's one learning curve that I don't need right now with everything else that needs to get done. I will get to it by the time summer's over, I promise. And so I understand it. It is. I mean, there's so much going on in social media now that it's just
you
have to pick and choose which battle you want to start.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I call them battles because that's what they are, because it's so much work to get those things, to get them set up and to get, you know, everybody aware, you
Correct.
Know, that it's just like a book, you know, a book comes out and it's like you have to do all these things so people know the book's out. Well, it's the same thing when you set up as an author or even, you know, someone who just wants to do blogging, a blog, you have to do the same thing. And, you know, same thing with Facebook if you want to, you know, get your name out there. Just like,
yeah, the thing with a blog is I need to figure out what I'm going to write about.
Right.
I can't just do it once and then not do it again. I have to make
yeah.
sure I have the bandwidth to write regularly, whether it's once a week, once a month. I have to figure all that out before
right.
I can start something like that.
Yeah, no, I understand. I have a couple of blogs, and, yeah, I've even enlisted people to help me. Because they are, their work is... It's like a living, at least for us as writers, it's basically like a living writing project.
Yes.
That doesn't
sure
ever have an end.
Nope. And you never catch up, right?
No, you never catch up. And then you sit there and go, oh, well, I haven't posted anything for weeks. Oops. So I understand that. Well, it's been great having you. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners today about Porcupine Seeds, about you, anything that you have upcoming that you want people to know about, you know, even new projects?
I just finished 3 books for ESL non-English readers, and that was a lot of fun. There's three nonfiction books.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I don't have anything coming up.
All right. Well, I know that our listeners will definitely have to, if they get Highlights or Ladybug Magazine. Didn't you do one for one of the girl, one with girl in it?
Hopscotch
yeah.
for Girls?
Yeah, Hopscotch for Girls. So they'll have to go to those sites and plug your name in. And because I know you can go to those types of websites and plug
yeah.
in an author's name and it'll list what issue they've had stuff published
right.
in. So
yeah.
definitely go check that out, and definitely check out VGK Chari's Porcupine Seeds. It's a very cute book. It's published, which we never said who it was, it's published by 4RV Publishing, and it is at Amazon, so you can just type in Porcupine Seeds and find it that way. And of course it's available in any bookstore. If they don't have it on their shelves, you can always go up to the counter and ask them to look it up into their archives, because books not always are in bookstores, but they are available for the bookstores to get in for you. Sometimes readers don't realize that, but that is true. Same with the libraries. You can do the same thing in a library. You can actually put in a request at a library to get books in
yeah.
that they don't have.
Yeah, interlibrary loan or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely check it out. And like we said, VG will be touring all month in June with the World of Ink tour, so you can go to worldofinknetwork.com, and under the Authors on Tour tab, she will be listed, and you can click on her link and see more about her books. There's also her book trailer is there, which is also out on YouTube, so you can type in Porcupine Seeds out on YouTube if you don't want to go to our site and see the really cute little book trailer. That was who did your book trailer for you?
Her name is... Oh, I don't know how to say her name. Edena Raven, Willow Raven is her last name, and she is the art director for RV Publishing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and she does great work. I've known her for a few years online. We've never met in face to face, but we've talked to each other quite a bit in the virtual sphere. And she does fabulous work, and it's a very, very cute little trailer, and it's a great preview, so you can, you know, for people who aren't sure about a book, I love book trailers for that reason, because it gives
yeah.
you, it's like a movie preview, but for a book,
right.
and it helps you not just looking at reviews, but you can look at those and go, okay, you know, yeah, this looks cute, like something, you know, I want to get for my grandkids or my kids, or if you're a teacher, for myself to put in my classroom and type of thing, so... Definitely check that out, and like I said, that's also on her tour page, along with all the different stops she has. And then on the World of Ink blog, which is worldofinknetwork.blogspot.com, is also a spotlight on Porcupine Seeds and VGK Chari, as well, so you can go there, and there's some links there. And then today she was on Suzanne's blog, and I can't think of the name of that blog right now off the top of my head because I don't have it in front of me. It's what I get. See if I can find that really quick. Oh, it's right here. It is the Putting Words Down on Paper blog. So there's a spotlight there, and I believe your book trailer is on that blog's spotlight as well. So you can go there and see what Suzanne had to say about porcupine seeds, which was, of course, all fabulous. And did you want to share any, well, I guess we already shared your link, so any last words for our listeners at all? Or?
Nothing else, but thank you so much for having me.
It was
fun.
Yes, yes, lots of fun. And you were very relaxed, so you were worried about not
being
relaxed.
Yes, I was very relaxed.
Oh, my gosh, radio. Trust me, my first interview, which you sounded nothing like me, I sounded like I ran a marathon. I was hyperventilating on the phone. It was terrible. I was only on for 30 minutes, and it was terrible. I don't think anybody ever listened to that. It's like buried in my archives. I'm like, no, it shall never be played for another soul again. So, no. It was great having you, and I'm looking forward to the rest of your tour, and it's been, I, of course, get to see some of the stuff beforehand, so I've been enjoying kind of getting the preview of the upcoming blog posts. And
I look forward to learning much more. So.
Yes, there's some fabulous interviews, there's some great guest posts on different topics that, you know, if you write or don't write, that are very inspiring, and you know, may even, you know, give you some ideas as well. So it's going to be a fun tour. So we're glad to have you a part of the June World of Ink tour. And then I guess I need to get into what we have upcoming on the World of Ink Network. So let me pop into our, which it's not letting me, pop into our shows because we're trying to be good about that, sharing what we have coming up. If anybody missed out on, oops, that's not the page I wanted. If anyone missed out on its Storytime Gather Round, which would air on Saturday, I highly recommend those who love listening to stories, you know, read by the authors or by people to listen to it. That was on this past Saturday. It's a phenomenal show. It's new to the World of Ink Network, so I highly recommend that show. And we're going to try and have it, I don't want to say every Saturday, but close to almost every Saturday, so that's definitely a show to check out. It's really early in the morning because the hosts are Eastern time, so but you can always listen to it on demand. And then tomorrow, see, I know I need to look at this. Tomorrow, Marcia Casper-Cook has her show, A Good Story is a Good Story, on June 5th. That is at 2 p.m. Mountain Time that I'm looking at, so that will be 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, 2 p.m. Mountain, and 1 p.m. Pacific. Marcia is going to have a co-host for that show. It's going to be Elizabeth Black, so that will be a great show to listen to. They're going to actually, if you love romance, they're going to have some hot, steamy romance on that show. Bethany Cross will be on there, who is one of the steamy romance writers that we've had on a few of our shows. So I'm sure she'll be joined by some other guests as well, but that will be a show to listen to tomorrow for all those who are looking for a little bit of romance. And then on Friday, June 8th, Marcia's having a special Good Story is a Good Story as well. And on that, her co-host will be Willow Cross. They're going to be having basically writers on there talking about their experiences with ghosts and writing ghost story type things. And I think Bethany Cross was joining on that show as well. So that would be another good one. Yeah, Bethany Cross will be on that show as well. And then, let's see what else we have coming up. I'm like clicking through our show pages, which now just locked up on me. Because I think we have, well, I know we have.
There's a Writing Mama show next week too, right?
Yeah, so. There's a Writing Mama show a week from today on Monday, and that is on June 11th. And again, that will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central, 12 Mountain, and 11 a.m. Pacific. And it's a Writing Mama show, and why it's not a Stories for Children show is because this book is for 18 and up readers. The book is called In All Things by Laura Smith, and it is an inspirational, motivational memoir with religious undertones. So it's definitely for the older reader. The book is actually dedicated to anybody who's ever had a loss of a child or has experienced, the death of a child within their family. So it's going to be a really great show for people who have experienced that in their life, you know, be it abortion, miscarriage, you know, natural causes, you know, accidental death, whatever kind of show. So definitely tune in. I've read the book. Irene's read the book. It's one of those books that you definitely have a box of tissues next to you when you read.
Definitely.
It's a mover. So those are our upcoming shows, and I'm sure Fran Lewis is going to have a Focus on Discussion show that will probably pop up somewhere in between all that. So you can just always come to you can always come to the World of Ink Network at Blog Talk Radio, and on our main page we have all our shows on demand, and then any upcoming shows, at least our four most recent upcoming shows will be posted, so you can kind of see what is planned, and you can always set a reminder to listen to that. And again, we hope that you'll stop by the World of Ink Network and check out our authors on tour. It's going to be a crazy month, but a fun month. We're going to have giveaways, interviews. We're going to do a blog hop next week through the Family Matters blog as well. So we hope people will join on that. It's our Book Lovers Blog Hop. It's always fun. We always get to connect with other bloggers who love to read and love to share, you know, reading and writing with the world. So that's always fun. And we thank you for listening, and we hope you guys all have a great week. I can't believe it's Monday already again. With summer here, I'm so off on what day of the week I'm on. But we thank you all for listening to us, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Me to the World of Ink.